Just shoot, Stoop.
The rifleman tried to take aim, but Jack was moving too quickly and was outside of the light. He was a difficult target. The rifleman loosed his shot from the heckler and coke he was holding, but even with such a good blaster, the shot whistled well wide of the onrushing albino. If Jack presented a difficult target, then there was no such problem for the albino. The rifleman was static, only the upper part of his body swaying slightly as he attempted to follow the line of Jack's course. He was also standing in a pool of light that made him stand out clearly against the background. Jack was able to draw a bead on the rifleman with ease, and he squeezed the trigger of the Colt Python, a heavy .357 caliber shell leaving the barrel of the blaster with deadly intent. The round hit the rifleman in the chest, exploding beneath his raised arms as he tried to draw another bead on the rider. The entry wound was small, but had enough impact to lift him up onto his toes and fling him backward. He made no noise, any vocal exclamation of pain or shock being stilled by the waves of pain that swept through him as the soft lead of the slug expanded on its path through his body.
Shit! Fuck! Shit! Shit!
The bomber set the timer running and rose to his feet, drawing a long-barreled blaster of his own from the back of his belt. The fact that it was stuffed down the back of his pants for convenience when setting the device, rather than in a holster, was what chilled him. The extra fraction of a second it took to reach behind enabled Jack to jump from the horse while it was still in motion, landing with poise and dipping his shoulder to roll into the earth rather than onto it, absorbing the impact and letting it work as momentum to drive him closer to the scene of the sabotage. As Jack came upright, he fell into a combat shooting stance on one knee, bringing up the Colt Python and sighting on his opponent in one smooth motion. His finger tightened on the trigger, squeezing off another shot. With one hand behind his back to pull the blaster from his pants, and the other instinctively flung out to balance himself, the bomber left his entire torso exposed. Jack's shot was swift and accurate, aimed for just above the chest area and beneath the throat, flying swift and true to between the bomber's collarbones, driving a bloody hole into the hollow beneath his Adam's apple. Almost before the man had fallen to the ground, Jack was on his feet and running toward the small brick pump house, the two chilled saboteurs lit by the light of the lamp, their blood spreading darkly into the earth around them. To the other side of the derrick, by the edges that skirted the open expanse of desert and were obscured from Jack's view by the pipes that ran from the well, the third man was rigging up his own explosive device. It was more complex and was intended to take out the generator that powered the wellhead and also the cabling from the generator that would power the pump house. It was a more time-consuming task, but the third man had that extra time because he knew he was farther away from the oncoming sec man. Considered afterward, it would be obvious that the saboteurs had a complete knowledge of the companions' positions, but there wasn't time to ponder that now. JB was arriving after the party had already started, for as he circled out to the right to come around and tackle this saboteur, he heard the first exchange of shots on the other side of the derrick. He knew that he needed to attend to this triple fast in case Jack was hitting real trouble. The saboteur had been concentrating hard on getting the wiring of the device right, linking up the charges of Plasex to the trigger device. So hard that he didn't notice the armorer until it was almost too late. JB whipped his mount into a frenzy, foam flecking from the creature's lips and sprang back onto its mane as it charged forward. With the M4000 ready, the armorer wheeled it around so that he was approaching the far side of the derrick from an acute angle. He could see the lamplight by which the saboteur was working, and could see the man outlined against the dark metal of the construction as he linked the Plasex charges together. JB swung his leg over the back of the horse until he had both feet on the same side, and slid from the horse as it charged forward, buckling to break his fall as the horse moved on toward the derrick. He fell a little awkwardly and hissed curses through his teeth as his body jarred on the closely packed earth. Picking himself up, he moved parallel to the horse's course and then a little to one side so that the saboteur would look away from him when the horse's approach attracted his attention. The saboteur ignored the sound of the approaching hooves for as long as he dared. He knew he would have to fight easily. He emerged from the pump house to find JB surveying the corpses.
They don't look like anyone from the camp.
Outsiders.
Pity we had to chill them all. I wonder if the others can get one alive. Then we might find out who's behind all this and stop it once and for all.
Dean and Ryan headed for the storage tanks, with a squeal of tires and brakes announced that the wag had reached its destination. Father and son were both some distance away and were approaching from different angles. With the wag now silent, it was difficult to know where the saboteurs had come to rest, and both Ryan and Dean were only too well aware that they could ride full tilt into the saboteurs before they had a chance to properly orient themselves.
Dean, where are you?
About 3 minutes away. The speed this dumb creature is going. I'm to the southwest of the tanks, and I'm taking a roundabout route to try and spot them.
Okay, I'm in the northeast, and I'm bearing straight down. I haven't had a sign of them yet, and I guess they're at the back of the tanks.
Yeah, they might have left the wag there, but they'll have to come around to the other side to do whatever the hell they intend to do.
If they want to take out the pipes, yeah. But maybe they just want to blow holes in the tanks. That'd really put them out of operation.
Take a shitload of Plasex as well.
Exactly. So we need to be beyond triple red for these cold hearts until we see exactly what they're doing.
The horses were now approaching the tanks from different directions, and in the pale light of the moon reflecting on the old and battered metal, Ryan could see some movement at ground level, down in the shadows. It looked like a couple of men.
Got two on my side. Check yours.
Nothing.
Okay. You take the route around the back, try and find the wag. Maybe they've left one on guard. Then work your way around to me. I'll take these fire-blasted mercies.
Dean didn't even bother to reply. His father knew that he would follow this order without question. The younger Carter directed his mount toward the rear of the tanks, while Ryan homed straight in on the side where the two moving shadows were visible. He could see them pause in their task, and he knew that they had spotted him. Hell, he was hard to miss charging in on a horse from out of the desert. He pulled the Steyr SSG-70 from where it rested across his back and readied the trusty rifle for action. The first shot whistled past his ear, and a second kicked up some dust just in front of his charging mount. Obviously, the two men were using different blasters, one of which had a lesser range. Nonetheless, he was now coming into that range, and it would be better for him to adopt whatever evasive maneuvering he could, which, he was too well aware, wasn't enough. Gripping the horse between his thighs, he raised the Steyr with both hands, resting the stock into his shoulder and sighting as best as he could. The weaving animal beneath him was making it hard to aim, as the target area moved both from side to side and up and down with the pounding of the frightened animal's hooves on the hard ground. Shots were whistling around him with an alarming regularity now, and although Ryan didn't flinch, he found himself hoping that a lucky strike wouldn't take him out before he had a chance to retaliate. Careful not to hurry his shots, Ryan's finger tightened on the trigger, squeezing gently as he sighted, as best as possible, on his enemy. Dean had brought his mount to the back of the storage tanks. He could hear the shots from the other side, ringing out in the still air. From the sound of them, he knew that none of the blasters in action were his father's, and he figured that just maybe he could raise a little distraction. He pulled his mount to a halt as he reached the tanks. The animal bucked and lifted its forelegs, and Dean used the momentum of the movement to slide down its back and off, using the flanks of the animal as cover as he drew his Browning high power and checked that a round was chambered and the blaster was ready for use. There was no response from the wag, which he could see sitting by the rear of one storage tank.